hear ye, all the you flock, please come into the pen. I shut the door on you. Yeah, you sheep. All right, Methodist women. Well, this is a very, very special day for me and my wife. 50 years ago, God had called me to be a minister, and through different situations, I didn't choose that path. But He's really loving and faithful, and He's brought me back 50 years later to be ordained. And I feel this is the happiest I think I've ever been in my whole life. And I'm just so happy. This is such a privilege to be here with y'all. And to, this is my inaugural sermon. What'd you say, Bob?
I'm glad it's with us.
Yes, me too. I love you guys, all of you. Another little caveat is I want to thank all of you who have welcomed my wife Felicia and I so wonderfully. And we feel such a part of y'all. And we can't thank you enough for what you've done for us already. It's only been a year. And I thank all of the people here that had a part in my father's celebration. And I really want to, I know I'll embarrass you, but Patricia, I thank you so much for your expertise and your help. It was just wonderful. Well, I want to tell you something right now, and I'm very, very serious. Very serious. If you do not have Jesus, the end of your life is not going to be good. It's not going to be good. On this new day, give your heart completely to Christ. Any sin, whether you think it's small or large, get rid of it. Confess it to the Lord. And take Jesus as your Savior. And this is very serious. Well, I want us to consider what we're doing in our lives to make a lasting impact. Are we making a lasting impact on our friends and family? And whether we know it or not, we are making a big impact on the people around us. Whether you think you are or not. I remember some of the rowdy kids in junior high made a negative impact on me. And my teacher was very disappointed in me. I said, I'm sorry. I was kind of running around with the wrong guys. And whether we realize it or not, we have opportunity to influence people, and we have opportunities. But all of us touch people's lives, as I said, either for good or for bad. But only Christians, the peculiar ones, the peculiar ones, we have a spiritual impact for Christ because we alone are indwelt with His Holy Spirit. Nobody else is. The only people with His Spirit are the Christians, the ones who truly believe. Each of us is truly a unique person. I love it that we're all different. I love our faces are different, our builds are different, our gifts are different. And it's His will that we live to make an impact on other people for their spiritual good. It begins with those close to us, our family, our children, our relatives, and then it branches out to people we work with, the workplace. The power of our impact is determined by the integrity of our lives. To help us understand this, Jesus used some illustrations that, if you've read the Bible very long, you've probably heard and read part of his Sermon on the Mount, where he was talking to his disciples, and he says to them that you are the salt and the light. And he was trying to emphasize the importance of our character and our lifestyle for our effectiveness as a witness for him. In other words, you take seriously spreading salt and giving light to all that is around you. In Matthew 5:13, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, I like that because I use salt a lot. Some too much. At Christmas, I ate too much salami that had a lot of salt in it. I wasn't supposed to do that. But you know, salt is a different substance. Anything that it touches, it changes. You know? And if you've eaten something kind of bland and you go, "Oh boy, I need something, I put some salt on it," all of a sudden it's changed. It's been flavored. Well, we're, as believers, we're different and separate from the world we impact. And in societies, truly it's characterized by sin today, and it has been since Adam's fall. And our holy and purified lives stand in stark contrast to the people that are unbelievers. It's totally different. Totally different. We're warned in Romans 12:2, when Paul was writing his letters to the Roman church, he says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." I always loved that he wrote that in that letter. Do you know who rules the world? Who runs it? You think it's God, but it's not. Satan. You look at what's going on now. But thank goodness, God is in control. So when we're in the world and we're dispensing salt and it touches different people, we do several things. When we're with people, we give people flavor. Salt has the power to turn saltless things or tasteless things to something enjoyable. Even our presence with people that are non-believers can make their lives better. And then salt, I remember our teacher in history saying that in the old times, you know, they put salt on everything to preserve the meats especially and things. And they did this in the Roman times. They used salt. It was a very valuable commodity. Salt was actually used many times to pay the Roman soldiers for their work. So it was very valuable. So Christ is saying, we are very valuable. And salt penetrates into things. We are living examples of spiritual transformation, the joy and the peace and the contentment that Christ gives us, they are attractive to thirsty souls. People want to know, what is it that you have that gives you such peace and joy? The Spirit is drawing them to the Savior. Salt is quiet. Never thought of it like that, but it is. Sometimes God draws people to Christ through a very quiet means. In my life, when I was in high school, and I was invited to this church, and we were in the old chapel, and it was a wonderful place. I mean, the people were just so good and so loving, and no one had to hit me over the head to say, you must be saved, or you must be born again, or you must, you know, repent. I wanted to, because my heart had been open to the gospel. And salt heals us too. We were just talking about how salt heals. I remember I had a sore throat, and my mom would say, gargle with salt. Okay. So our compassion, our kindness, and a listening ear let hurting people experience Christ's love through us. Now, in the days of Christ, salt was very expensive, and it used to be collected in seawater, and I think it still is, and you can have sea salt. And they would also, I didn't realize this, but looking some stuff up, they would scrape it off the ground, and then they would purify the ground, the dirt. And if it had too many impurities in it, they'd throw it out. Remember how Jesus said, if it's lost its taste, it should be thrown out and trampled under feet of men? Well, they literally did that. They would throw it out on the streets as, you know, something to line the streets, and then people would tramp on it. And it wasn't worth anything anymore. If it had no taste, it was not worth anything. So what are we going to do if we lose our taste? We have to stay salty. And then Jesus in Matthew 5:14, he continues and he says, you are the light of the world. Wow, that's a big thing. You are the light of the world. According to 1 John 15, John wrote, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Jesus also said in John 9:5, I am the light of the world. Yet now he declares to us who have trusted him as his Savior, he says, you are the light of the world. Imagine, we are the light of the world. It's amazing. Our light must shine before people in such a way that they may see our good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Surely this person must know God. And our light isn't our own, but rather it's a reflection of Christ within us. In our own we have no light, but when we have Christ in our hearts, we reflect him to all people around us. God uses that light to draw people to himself, not to us, so that he alone may receive glory. Well, if you think about light, boy, I'm glad we have light. I mean, without it, we'd be in darkness. And especially when I'm stumbling around the living room trying to find my way, I have to have a light. If we think about the qualities of the light, he's telling us this, that light is clear and it's pure. Our lives should be characteristically pure and clear. When people look into our lives, and they do, even unknowingly, they're looking into us. We want them to see the purity of Christ. and we want them to see the clarity of Christ. Light reveals what's hidden in the darkness. When we're characterized by godliness, those who are unrighteous see the difference between their lives and ours. It's not me, it's Christ that they're seeing. Sometimes they feel guilty because they know they're not living the way they should. I have felt that way, and I'm thankful that I did. And they're feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes this leads to antagonism, where, you know, people can persecute you. Okay. Jesus says, the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light. And their deeds were evil. But sometimes the Lord uses the light in us to drive them from darkness to salvation. The light guides us. God uses us like a lamp to guide us, to guide the unbelieving into the path of truth. And the light warns. Without light, we cannot see the obstacles that are before us. And this is spiritually true for the lost people. We can warn them with that they are in danger and need of the Savior. And light warms us up. We should never be cold and unfeeling towards those trapped in the darkness. Well, they don't have Jesus, so too bad. No. They need to know that we care. So they can see Christ loving and his love flowing through us. Absolutely has to happen. While Jesus was in the world, he was the light of the world, but now he's at the Father's right hand in heaven, where he reigns with God. As the church proclaims the Word of God, the Holy Bible, it is a bright beacon showing people the way to salvation. The way God talks to us, and we've probably heard this many times, is through his word, the Bible. If you're not talking to God and listening to God by reading the Bible, who are you listening to? If you were the only Christian someone knew, would they see Christ's light in you and want to know Jesus? Seriously. And seriously, do the people at work or in your neighborhood know that you're a believer? How is your life different from those around you? Jesus Christ, who has called us as his disciples to be light and salt to people. I've asked God to help me put that in my brain when I'm out with people and I'm thinking about, what are you doing, Rod? How are you presenting the gospel? You know, this is the very thing that God saved you for, is to help people and to save them. So we're going to hear a song from our praise group. And then after that, I have a very special video for us to watch. Okay, thank you for ears that hear. And I pray your hearts are open. This is the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm.
our love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You give life. You are love.
Hello, my name is Mark Hayes, and it is my pleasure to present to you the Choir and Orchestra of St. Lillian, under the direction of Deborah Basile, performing my arrangement of Dan Shute's Here I Am, Lord. I hope you enjoy it.
Whom shall I serve?